music. Sports and music. Sports and music. Yeah. Sports and music. Yep, it's going hand in hand.
Yeah, we talking sports and music. Yep, they going hand in hand. Ballin' with my beats on. Gotta have that upper hand. Tying up my sneakers. Yeah, my ballers understand. And I hear them yelling from the stands. What they saying? Sports and music. Sports and music. Sports and music. Yep, it's going hand in hand. Sports and music. Sports and music. Sports and music. Gotta get it how we can. S&M all day. 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 S&M all day.
Yep. We back for another week show with Sports and Music. With Mo Ager, Maurice Ager, formerly of Michigan State. Ah, man, we lost the Duke this weekend, man. I'm hurt, man. But it felt good to be in an environment with all my Spartan dogs again, with so many Michigan State people at big wings in Hollywood. I feel like I was back at maybe Rick's or, you know, just one of the places downtown we used to hang out with the Sparties. And I met a lot of my old friends from Michigan State. Met some new friends at Michigan State, man. So shout out to the alumni group out here in L.A. That's really large. I mean, honestly, I didn't realize how big it was out here, man. We got Michigan State people all over the place, man. We run the world. But, you know, my prayers and my thoughts go out to the kid Ware who broke his leg the other day at the Louisville game. It was a sight to see. I mean, if you haven't heard about it, you might just look up Louisville leg break and you'll see the situation where he's actually getting ready to contest the shot. And he came down his leg really, really awkward. And it was a moment to where it was really scary, you know. And, you know, besides the obvious of him hurting himself, man, you know, his reaction of his teammates was priceless, man. It was almost like everybody was crying, like the guys dropped. And I don't know, you saw the breath just leave the players. And you know what, man, and I feel like at the college level, it's so passionate, you know. For those guys to feel that way about their teammate was amazing, to actually see him, you know, react to it in a way where it's like they lost a brother or, you know, a close friend, man. It was just, but the reaction was sick. Like, it was remarkable. But, you know, shout out to that kid. You know, I heard he's back on campus doing his thing. You know, he was on crutches. They said he might be out for a year, so hopefully he can pick up that basketball again, man, and bounce back from that tragic injury. But, you know, not to say the least, Friday I was nominated for Independent Music Producer of the Year for the Entrepreneurs on the Move Award. So that's something I'm really excited about. And it feels good to be, you know, recommended or some of your talents going noticed and getting some accolades for hard work, you know, because I put a lot of hard work in and my craft. And I really love my craft so much. And to be nominated for an award like that is really well. That the award show is August 4th at the Nokia Center. And it's going to be good. You know, voting starts June, I want to say. And I'm going to need all you guys' votes to vote for me, man. I want to win the award. You know, I got nominated, so I might as well go ahead and win it all. But today's show, we have a brother by the name of Imani Walker. He was a former artist, but now he's turned businessman. Imani, are you there, brother? Mr. Walker, are you online?
He's not in queue yet, Mo.
But yeah, we have Imani Walker. We have my good friend Anthony Fields, who was a producer for DMX, and he's still a producer for Rough Riders. And he controlled an era that was, you know, pretty significant back in the 90s. But now he's still doing his thing. And he's one of those guys I looked up to. When I first moved out here to L.A., you know, he kind of took me under his wing and showed me a lot of things about the music business, per se. And he taught me a lot. And to this day, you know, man, I'm still keeping contact, and we still work together. He actually produced a song on my album called Kano Flow. He produced the beat. He's one of the only producers that worked on my album besides the Olympics. You know, the Olympics and my boy Lone Star did some work. Tim Boski did some work. My friend Yanni Beeks did some work. But he's the only one that produced a full record, him and Olympics. They produced two full records. He did the Kano Flow and the Olympics. He did Hit You Back. So, you know, definitely proud to have him on here. And we have an entrepreneur of the week by the name of Dino. He has some good things that's going on for our, you know, helping our environment and making us, you know, respect some of his crafts and his abilities and some of the great things he's doing. So, yes, another week. You know, make sure you guys go check out the website,
Mr. Zoo, you already know I'm going to say it three times. That's moeager.com. M-O-E-A-G-E-R.com. Moeager.com. And, you know, everything on the website is continuing to grow. We're, all of my shows are on there. Like, if you missed previous shows, you go, so just go back and check it out. That's moeager.com. Follow me on Twitter. That's M-O-E-A-G-E-R. And you know what? It's Easy Way Broadcasting. We're on the way to doing some really special things. You know, this is the first year putting this broadcast together, powered by Eric Zuli. Make sure you guys follow him on Twitter. That's at Eric Zuli. And he's making a lot of good things happen for us, you know, as host and making our jobs easy. All we have to do is be the talent. And shout out to Tina Truman, who's doing an excellent job at producing this show as well. It's Easy Way Broadcasting. We're on our way. We're about to do some really special things this year. And I feel good to be starting something special with someone and being able to help that person, you know, get to the next level and something that we're doing right now. So that's awesome. So we got Mr. Imani in queue yet?
We do not. We have Anthony.
We have Anthony?
We do. So while we bring him in, well, let's switch it up. Let's bring Anthony in, and we'll be getting Imani, and we'll do it Mo style. So with your permission, we're going to bring Mr. Anthony in here.
All right, bring Mr. Anthony on.
Now, welcome to the music segment of our show with P Killer Tracks.
Yo, yo, PK.
Hey, Mo, what's good, bro?
What it do, Brody?
Same old, man. You know, just out here in New York, man, doing back in my element. You feel me?
Man, let's talk about that, man. First of all, let's introduce the world to P Killer, man. I tried to give him a little brief introduction, but, you know, you don't support some music with Mo Egger, so, man, we got to tell everybody who you are, brother.
Yeah, you know, my name is P Killer Tracks, man. I started out with Rough Riders, you know, in the late, mid-90s, you know, with DMX. LOX and Eve and Dragon and all that, you know, will help build that empire, you know?
Yeah.
And produced half of the first DMX album is Dark and Hell is Hot. Did like six songs on that album, which went multi-platinum in 1 week. And then in the same year, we put out two albums in 1 year with DMX. It's Dark and Hell is Hot. Then we did Flesh of My Flesh, Blood of My Blood. So we put out two albums in 1 year. And both of them went multi-platinum, like just like the first weeks out, like not even 2 weeks. It was just phenomenal. Like I didn't even know what the word platinum meant. I was like, what is that? So I just thought it was like some type of precious metal in the earth, man. You know what I'm saying?
Right. So explain to our listeners, like, what do you do? Like, what do you do? What did you do on that album? How did you contribute to that album?
Well, DMX album, I contribute by creating the song "Get At Me, Dog," which was a real phenomenal underground song, which made its way to mainstream radio, which I was shocked because it was just, you know, it was just so profound. And the other songs that I did was mainly on the same scale, like Stop Being Greedy, Messing With D, X Is Coming, Look Through My Eyes. Then I had a nice crossover song, or radio-friendly song, I should say, actually, How's It Going Down, featuring Faith Evans on the chorus, which was, like, it was really big, you know. So that was, like, that was insane for me, like, just to be walking down the block or still going to the studio and just hearing those songs. It's, like, I was just, like, blown away. So that's how I contribute to that first album, you know.
Right. So, I mean, like, back then, what was it like in that era, man? What was it like working with DMX, man? Did you guys realize that you had actually controlled the era of music, man? Looking back on it now, man, how was that experience, bro?
That experience was crazy because at the time, like, I just, you know, I'm never into it for the money, you know what I'm saying? Like, I always do what I do, my craft, you know, the talents God have blessed me with, the abilities to make music without actually going to school for it. My whole focus and my whole agenda was just to make music to stand throughout the test of time, you know, like to do like the Barry Whites and, you know, the rock groups, the Rolling Stones and all that, you know, because like there wasn't too many so-called quote-unquote rap artists really making music that would last for a good 10, 15 years. And that was like that was my initiative goal, like just to really set out and do that. And me not knowing like 10 years down the line, it actually just happened, like, you know, I achieved something that I've been dreaming and dreaming about and so passionate about. Like, and 10 years later, they still play these songs on the radio, which is, you know, it's amazing to me.
All right. Well, like, out of all the records, what is your favorite record that you produced?
Man, my favorite record that I produced really was Why We Die, and that's because, like, the features on the album, it was that song was on Busta Rhymes' album, Anarchy album. That was the title of the album, Anarchy, and the feature was, it was Busta Rhymes featuring Jay-Z and DMX. Now, they was, like, the three top big dogs in rap at that period, and, like, that collaboration was just so phenomenal, and it never happened in that era, and still in this day and age, in this era of music, that I believe it just won't ever happen again. Like, that's just like a collaboration that no producer could really claim or even say, like, yo, I had Jay-Z, Busta Rhymes, and DMX all on one song. You know,
yeah.
It's like, that was just like really, like, it was just like really mind-blowing for me to have that happen. I was like, and at the same time, I was humbled and blessed, like, yo, you know, like, God is always walking and it guided me in the right direction with my music and with this music thing, period.
Right. Busta Rhymes, Jay-Z, and DMX, man. That's an amazing collaboration. Explain to our listeners, how did that come about, though, man? I know, that's not easy to get those two on the record. How did that happen?
Yeah, I finished the first two DMX albums, and then I was going to Def Jam to see, like, you know, because I was really trying to keep everything in-house, like Rough Riders. I didn't really want everybody to have our sound, so I was like, certain people I really wanted to work with, so I was going to the office to see, like, you know, who they had available, to see if anybody they had available who I would want to work with. And I got out of my car, I'm walking in the Def Jam building, and all of a sudden I just see Busta Rhymes and then Split Star just on the side, like, they were just powwowing in front of the building talking, and Busta was like, hey, I know you, you know, he's that man right there is just so animating, his energy is just insane. He was like, yo, he's like, I need one of those Pete Keller tracks. You know, he just really so animated it. And I was like, yo, bro, it's like, whenever you want it, like, just let me know, man. He's like, I'm going to the studio tonight. It's just blah, 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 just be there. I'm like, all right, cool. I went to the studio, and the crazy thing about that song is, like, I was like, yo, I'm going to play you one beat. I'm going to play you one track, man. He's like, one? I was like, yo, I'm going to play you one joint. If you don't like this, man, then we ain't going to go no further than this, because this is how, you know, this is how much confidence I have in myself and the music that I create, you know what I'm saying? So I played that for him. Like, soon as it came on, it was like I had a sound that was so, that was just like a signature sound, you know? It was like a certain build-up to before the music came on and everything. And then he just, like, his face is cringed up, like, this is like the hardest thing in the world, my brother. And, like, and the whole beat came in, he just, like, he was lost his mind. Like, it played for, like, 30 seconds. He's like, yo, hold up, back, pull it back. He was just, like, the intro, for, like, 20 times over before we even started getting to the verse, man. And he started, piecing piecing his verse together. And out of nowhere, he was like, yo, you think you could get X on the joint? I was like, yo, yeah, I could get him on here. I was like, hold on, let me make a phone call right now. You know, I called Dog. I was like, yo, blah, 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 you know. Buster would like you to be on a joint. He was like, oh, he's like, who joint is it? I was like, it's a joint I just produced for him. He's like, oh, you did the joint? Say no more. He jumped right on it. Then Buster hit me back like 2 days later. He's like, yo, I'm about to really bless you with this joint. He's like, I'm about to send it to, you know, your man Sean Carter. I'm like, what? I was like, oh, that's crazy, man, you know. And he really made the Jay-Z joint happen, you know what I'm saying? But, like, we all had to make that thing happen. But, like, if he didn't really step forward and take that initiative, initiative step, it would have just been probably him and X. But I think shout out to Busta Rhymes for really making that record happen, man.
That's what's up, man. So do you still get a chance to run into, like, Busta Rhymes or Jay-Z or these types of guys? I know you're back working with DMX, man. But, I mean, no, we got to get to that. I mean, like, what is it like being back with your boy?
No, yo, it's like not seeing your brother for a few years and then you reunite, you know what I'm saying? It's like, just kindred spirits, man. We're like, we always, even if we ain't there, we always there, you know what I'm saying? So, but it's always wonderful. It's always great working with him again, man. It's like, man, he got a bunch of things happening right now with him right now. So, like, actually, he's working on a movie. You know, he's about to start filming the movie out here in New York. And You want me to? I believe they want me to do a soundtrack for the movie, and he's going to work on his album at the same time. He might do another double album within this year. So we got a lot of stuff really, really going on right now. It's going to be insane, bro.
That's pretty cool, man. I know the listeners are like, man, I don't mow no P. Killer, man. How does this happen? You give them one little gem that they don't know yet, but I have the pleasure of actually producing a record for you, B-Real, Cypress Hill, and Yuck Mouth.
Yeah.
I had the pleasure to actually produce that record, and I can't wait to put it out, of course, and then the video will be crazy. We've got to have B-Real, Yuck Mouth. Let's talk about how that record came about, bro, when we was in the studio making that joint that day. I remember you was on Dope Fat for 2 hours, and let's talk about the situation.
Yeah, that record, that record initially started with, now, you know, I don't, as a producer, I don't really mesh with too many producers like that, but there was, it was a homeboy. I was like, yo, what you doing with this track? He was like, yo, I had it for 2 years. I was like, word, let me get this. I'm gonna show you what to do with this joint right here. So I grabbed the beat, and, I spit my verse to it. And then I was just riding around with one of my other homies from New York. He was like, yo, I'm about to go meet B-Real. I'm like, all right, cool, let's go meet him. So we went to this place called the Rainbow. It's on Sunset somewhere, Rainbow Club. Yeah. So we went up there, blah, 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 jumped out the car. We jumped out the truck, and I just had the song blaring. It was just me. I had 3 verses on it already. The song was already done. I just jumped out the joint, and the song was just playing over and over and over and over again. He was like, "Hey man, who B-Real?" Was like, "Yo, who is that?" I was like, "Oh, that's me." He's like, "Yo, that's." He's like, "Yo, that song is crazy." He was like, "What you doing with that?" I was like, "I'm just feeling me out, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm an artist too at the same time as a producer, but I'm looking to get some features or whatever." I didn't even ask him. He's like, so you want me to get on it? I was like, word, that.
Yeah.
So B-Real jumped on the joint, man, and then, I got Yuck on the joint. And then the dude who I got the track from, he ended up selling it for, a frivolous amount of cash, which I could have actually gave him not to do so. But, in the long run, it turned out to be a better look anyway, because then I got you to reproduce the track, which is, it's phenomenal. It's like, it's better than the original track. I was like, I didn't think it could be done. I sat there for a couple of months. I don't even want to rack my brain. It's got me stumped. Then you came along. I was like, yo, you want to take a shot at this, man? And Mo just he put his foot in it. He put his touches and everything on. I was like, yo, this is it. We ain't got to go nowhere else. This is it right here. Now all we got to do is just get the mix right and all that other stuff and just reach out and touch these people and let them know what we're trying to do with it. But that's how my man Mo came about doing the track. And I don't really like too many producers, but Mo's vibe is so crazy. It's like, I was like, yo, I'm rocking with dude right here because he's really talented.
Appreciate it, dog, man. Trust me, man. In the intro, man, I was telling people how much you taught me, man, about the music industry, man, and some of the things we need to do in order to continue to stay relevant with us being able to be artists and produce at the same time. And I think that was one of the conversations we always had. You always told me, man, just keep, man, put your own music out. And at the time, I was like, man, all I'm going to do really is produce. I was dabbling and dabbling here and there, but I finally got to the point where I was like, man, I got to do it. And that's how
You see, I was always trying to push you. I was like, yo, Mo, man, you keep working with all these, all these artists and junk, man. It's cool and all that. You want to show love, but I just think you're really much more talented than the people you're working with. So you might as well just do you and put your own stuff out there, man, and then you can cater to them too, But, you got to make yourself priority.
Exactly. That's what I had to figure out. I'm like, man, you know what, man? I feel like, just investing in yourself is what I really learned is much more. I'm like, all right, man, I'm putting so much into working with these other people. It's like, man, I need to put this much effort and energy into my own music, my own rhymes and my own lyrics and my own content, and then feel comfortable about, promoting myself.
Exactly.
Once you put yourself out there and put yourself out there in a way where people respect it, man, it's easier for people to actually work with you anyway because you know the vision on how your beats and how the songs need to turn out anyway. But, we got to take this quick commercial break. We on Easy Way Broadcasting Sports and Music with Mo Egger. We got the boy Pete Killer. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Yep. apologize having a little bit of technical difficulties for the commercial break, Mo, but we are trying to get it fixed, and we will have that happen.
Sounds good. We'll fix the kid on the line. Well, I know you. Did you see the game the other day when the kid broke his leg? Okay.
I think we're still online. We're still online.
Do you want a stronger internet presence and social media following for you or your business? Eric EasyZuli and his company, Easy Way Entertainment, can help you get discovered. Go to www.easywaybroadcasting.com for prices and packages that can help you take control of your internet presence and gain marketing exposure.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric EasyZuli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Yeah, buddy, we're back. Sports and music with Mo Agar, powered by WTV Network, Easy Way Broadcasting. We got the boy Pete Keller on the line. Keller, yeah. I got to ask you a question. You know, we both come from, the urban community, the city, the hood, the ghetto, or whatever you want to call it, man. So how do you feel like sports and music go hand-in-hand, within our community and amongst the world, too?
You know, truthfully, like, I never really knew how much music and sports went together, man, until I actually started watching sports, because, like, not to be disrespectful or to ruffle anybody's feathers or any of that. Like, I'm just really into my music, so that's what I really be into. But, like, my brothers are big sports fans. And then one day, like, I was just chilling. And my brother's like, yo, come in here, watch this. I was like, yo, I don't watch sports. I'm into my music. He was like, nah, they playing your song in the basketball joint. I'm like, yo, that's crazy. And that's when I knew music and sports went hand in hand. And I met a few, I met Ike Hillard from the New York Giants way back when. And I met him. He was like, yo, I'm a big fan of your work and all that. And I'm like, are you sure you're talking to the right person there? Because I'm just a producer, I didn't know how much of a role that I played in other people's lives, man, Because without the music, a rapper's just a poet, But
right.
It makes a big difference, man, and, like, people – I work out to, the song that you did with such and such, I work out to that, that keeps me going, I run to this, I lift to this, I practice to this. I was like, yo, that just, like, really opened my eyes to a whole new window of music. Like, man, I really, not knowing, I really touch a lot of people, man, through these songs, man, even though I just make the music, it's not my words, but at the same time, combined together, it's a nice marriage that works. So it's like I really touch a lot of people. So, like, music and sports really go hand in hand, man.
That's what's up, man. So, like, tell everybody, what are you working on now, man? Nowadays, what you working on? I know you're back in your element. I remember you was out here. You was ready to get back to New York and do some things. And so, I know it feels good to be back home. And two, like, what are some things you working on?
Right now, like I said, I'm working on DMX. You got the movie joint going. I'm more than likely gonna work on the soundtrack, and I'm gonna speak to the producers to try to score some of the, a couple of scenes in the movie. So we're gonna work on that, and we're gonna work on DMX's new two albums that he's focusing on. And I'm working with Cassidy right now, he's working on the album we're not really too sure which direction we're going to go with that. Then Styles from the Lox, LOX, he's working on he's putting out another book, and with the book there's going to be a content of a CD. So when you buy the book, you get a CD with that. He got three songs from me for that section, and then we're going to be working on the LOX album, you know, and, which is long overdue. And I'm still working with Yuck Mouth from the Loonies. Actually, today I'm mixing a record featuring him and the Outlaws, you know, which is crazy. And another dude named Jay Hood from Yonkers, you know, which is just bananas. So, like, I got my hands in a couple of works right now, you know.
That's cool, man. So, you know, we always working and, you know, we always in the studio. Let's talk about some of the legwork that people need to do, like social media. How do you feel like social media plays a big part in getting your music out there and letting people know who you are?
Well, social media plays a big part, especially, like, if you're up, it's more accessible, especially if you're an up-and-coming producer. Like, you want to get your music out there. You just really got to, like, be on all the social networks and, you know, and just, even if a person got a billion followers, you just got to keep, you know, tweeting or Facebooking or Instagramming them and just spamming your music everywhere, man, because truthfully, that's the only way you're going to get heard. Or you can probably go, like, to certain events and solicit your music that way, you know what I mean? Like, because it's different from when I first started out. It's a little easier, but at the same time, it's not, because it still depends on who you know, you know? And if you know the right people, you know, that's how you can really get in. Or if you're really that talented and you can play music for people that, like, that they're really looking for, that there's certain music that's just missing from, or element of music that's just missing from certain people's albums. And, you know, an up-and-coming producer, he could have that element that's missing. So, you know, if you feel that you could have that element that could be missing from a T.I.'s album or a Rick Ross album or a Meek Mill's album or Lil Wayne or Drake album, you know, like, you just got to really be persistent and diligent enough to really, really pursue that, you know what I'm saying? Because this business, it's a cruel business, man. It doesn't hold its feelings back. Like, so if you wear your feelings on your sleeve, you got to kind of, you know, tighten up and, like, not really do that, you know, because it's an unforgiving business, man. It could break you in faster than it can make you. I can tell you that much.
Right, and that leads me to my next point. Like, how do you feel like it's different now than it was back then when you guys first came out?
Well, because back then, it was like, it was really about your circle, your camp, you know what I'm saying? Because there was only a few camps doing it. There was Wu-Tang, there was Onyx, there was Bad Boy, and there was Rockefeller, and there was Rough Riders. So it was like five groups, you know what I'm saying? Like five camps really just really stomping out New York with the music scene. So if you wasn't really in that circle like that, you wasn't really going to get on those type of people's albums, you know what I'm saying? Where today, you got them same type of, you know, camps and all that, Young Money and all that, and, you know, all the other groups. All you got to do is submit your music, and if it's hot enough, they'll use it, you know? They'll use it these days, you know? So it's a little different now.
Right. Do you think it's harder to get on as a producer, artist nowadays than it was back then, even though we have more outlets for people to actually promote their own music?
I think it's just as hard as back then, right now. But the only difference between then and now is, you know, the social media and YouTube and all that. Like, now you can basically shoot your own video and just upload it on YouTube and then, you know, just promote from there. So that's really the only difference. But if it's hot, it's hot. If it's not, it's not. So it's really up to the public. You know what I'm saying? The public is all the people who really consume what we make, you know what I'm saying? So if you feel like, oh, yeah, what I got is a hit, well, you could think it's a hit, but the other million people in the universe might like it, but then you might have another billion people who might love it. Like, so, you know, it's like a coin toss at the beginning of a game, you know, heads or tails, which one you got, you know, you just never know.
That's cool, man. That's some good information. I hope y'all paying attention to the legendary Pete Killer tracks. So, you know, tell the listeners how they can find you. How can they follow you? Your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram. How can we find you?
You can find me on Twitter at PKillerTracks. That's PKILLERTRACKZ. That's my Twitter, and it's the same thing on Instagram. Facebook, I don't really do too much of that too much, but I'm definitely on Instagram and Twitter real heavy.
Okay. Well, man, I want to thank you once again for joining us today on, you know, Sports and Music with Mo Egger. My Easy Way Broadcasting, man, you know, we definitely got to get together here in the near future and knock out some new music. And it was good having you on, man. So let's connect later on. And, man, good luck with everything, man, and keep pushing, bro.
Oh, yo, same to you, man, and congrats for that nomination, man. I'm proud that they recognize in real talent. You feel me?
Man, I appreciate it. Thanks a lot, brother. Thanks a lot. Okay, guys, we have our other guest on the queue, Imani Walker. Mr. Walker, are you there?
Today, welcome to Sports and Music Radio with Mo Egger. Let us all give a warm welcome to our first guest of the show, Imani Walker.
Mr. Walker, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good, man. How are you?
Doing excellent. Thanks again for joining us today.
Oh, not a problem.
That's all good, man. Okay, can you introduce the world to Imani Walker?
Well, you know, Imani Walker is out of Los Angeles, California, sunny sunshine state, you know, musician, business development guy, just, you know, doing his thing on the grind every day, you know? That's Imani Walker.
That's what's up, man. So what are you up to these days?
Right now, you know, I'm just finished, you know, putting together and co-producing the 50th anniversary for Dionne Warwick in December at the Fountain Blue Hotel in Miami. We shot it there. I do business development for Allen West Enterprises. He's a film and television producer out of Miami, you know, raised in New York, but, you know, offices and everything resides in Miami. So just finished that project, you know, shopping it to a few networks. We got a couple networks biting right now, and just doing that and, you know, getting ready for this big event that we're doing in August, which is a historical event with the reenactment of the I Had a Dream speech with Martin Luther King hologram. So that's pretty much got me all tied up. You know, I just jumped off a conference call on that, too. So, yeah, man.
Man, that sounded like some good stuff there, brother. First of all, I want to congratulate you on, you know, being a part of some great projects, man. That's pretty cool, man. I know you saw the game the other day when the kid broke his leg, the Louisville game.
No, I did not see the game, brother. I did not. I'm not going to even front.
Okay, well, it's a big thing going on right now. You know, a kid broke his leg, and it's probably one of the illest things I ever seen, man. It looked like something from a straight movie. But, you know, I have to say this, you know, how do you feel like sports and music, you know, go hand-in-hand with each other?
Well, I think sports and music go hand-in-hand in many ways, as far as, like, you know, the players listening to it for motivation. I mean, the music in the background, you know, when you're watching, you know, the sports clips, that kind of thing. I mean, and, you know, nowadays, you know, if you notice, like, every time there's a championship basketball game, football game, you know, an artist will make a song about it. And I think they cross markets, you know, in ways as far as, like, you know, getting the, you know, the Twitter followers, the YouTube views. You know, people do it for business, and sometimes people do it because they love that team, and you kind of shine it on the next competitor. You know, so I think that music and sports do go hand in hand, especially nowadays, you know, because you're actually speaking for, you know, the player or the team itself. And, you know, I mean, if you look at it nowadays, I mean, a lot of these athletes, you know, come from a hip-hop or some type of musical background and, you know, just happen to have that talent and get picked up, you know, as an athlete. You know, you got a lot of, you know, rappers nowadays. You can look at World Peace. I mean, he's working on an album, and a lot of these athletes nowadays have labels, I mean, which I think is great. So I think it goes hand in hand, I mean, due to players as well as, you know, music in the background and motivation for the players when they're working out. So, of course, it goes hand in hand.
And considering you were an artist at one point, you know, you're in the business side, like, even for an athlete that's doing music, like, what advice would you give athletes or any up and coming producer, artist on the business side of things? Like, what are some of the things that they need to know about the music business? Because there's a lot of people that's really, really talented, but they lack the business. You know, the business,
well,
what are some advice that you give those guys?
I mean, the advice that I would give anybody is definitely learning about the business. I mean, this course is 90% business and 10%, you know, entertainment, you know, and just basically if you are an athlete, you know, and you're doing your music and all that kind of stuff, I mean, just keep, you know, keep away from the old shoot 'em up, bang, bang, and not leaving a message in your music because, you know, you're a role model and you're in the eyes of, you know, millions and millions of children and kids that are looking at you. So, I mean, that would definitely be my advice. Not to somebody that's just coming up on the underground level, I mean, definitely it's getting your social media together, you know, aligning yourself up with those people that do online marketing and all that kind of stuff and, you know, bridge the two together. Because, you know, you can have all the talent, but if your social media is not up, then it becomes nothing. I mean, you can look at, you know, the different artists that have made it. You know, Trinidad James is one of them. I mean, his social media was crazy before he blew. So it's just like, you know, you really don't even have to have, you know, all the talent. It's just you got to have that business platform. So, you know, this, I mean, like me, I started off as just, you know, rapping and stuff like that. Never really got off into the business end of it and just kind of fell into it and I seen how important it is. So just basically learning your, you know, learning what makes a machine, you know, run and function. I mean, you have so many different ways that you can promote yourself nowadays where you can operate as a label. So I think it's very important that, you know, every artist learns the business as well as just, you know, putting lines and rhymes together. You know what I mean?
Right. That's absolutely correct. And like you said, man, we have so many different accesses and, you know, opportunities to be able to put our own music out. How do you feel like nowadays it can be more, it's, I don't want to say it's easier to get on, but, you know, I feel like it's more opportunities for you to actually have control of your own career. How do you feel like that's different from now or versus like the late 90s or the mid 90s when people were, you know, really blowing up and stuff?
Well, I would say, you know, it's more, I call it hand-to-hand combat. I mean, you know, you're coming out the trunk with CDs. I mean, you can't put your CD in the hand of somebody in England. You know, when you're on Crenshaw Boulevard, you know, back in the, you know, the early 90s when I was coming up and all that kind of stuff. I mean, with the internet, I mean, you can reach anybody in the world. And you just have to have those, you know, those certain blogs that you're up on. So it is a lot, it is easier. And I think it's kind of like it's a catch-22 because then there's a lot of artists that are getting on that really, you know, don't really know about hip-hop or just, you know, putting up visuals that are negative and all that kind of stuff. So, I mean, it's easier, and then it's easier for a lot of negative artists to get out there and do their thing. So it is easier because of the internet, you know. So it kind of, like, made it, you know, to where it's like, yeah, we got our thumbs up, cool, we got ways to reach people. Then it's like, wait a minute, who is this person getting on and flashing guns and, you know, drugs and all this kind of stuff, because I don't condone any of that. So I think it's easier to get your message out, good or bad, nowadays versus when you had to, you know, go to the battle raps and, you know, get at the DJs and that kind of thing, you know. I mean, even though people still do that, but nowadays DJs are looking at Twitter followers and YouTube numbers, and next thing you know, you're on the radio, you know. So right. I think it's 10 times easier than what it was when, you know, back in the early 90s and 80s.
Right, so in other words, you feel like the technology that we have nowadays is basically that diluted some of the music.
Of course. Of course. I mean, it allows anybody to do their thing. I mean, and, you know, people come out and then, you know, they're allowing any message nowadays and it's not censored online. So it's a good and a bad thing, you know?
Right, and then, I mean, me personally, man, I take a lot of pride in being responsible on records, you know, for so many different reasons, because of God, for one, two, and I want my mother to be able to listen to my music. I don't want my music to get turned down by any type of, you know, crowd. Like, if your grandma walk in the room, she can listen to it, you know, and bob her head, you know what I'm saying, not worry about me saying something crazy. So I feel like nowadays, I feel like it's got to a point where people are irresponsible with their lyrics. How do you feel like that's really just, you know, it's hurting our generation nowadays?
Well, it's just making them, I mean, I was actually, you know, on a train, you know, I decided to jump on a train in L.A. and just kind of float through and see how the train, you know, moves through L.A., kind of like in New York vibe, you know, what's going on out here is, and I was just looking at the faces of these young kids and how they carry themselves. I think it makes the kids feel tougher. I think the music, you know, when you're doing, you know, shoot 'em up, bang, bang, I'll kill you, and then, you know, all that crazy music that's out right now, I think it's changing the mentality of the kids nowadays. They're all clicked up. You know, you step on my shoes, I'm going to blow your brains out. Like, I mean, it's a lot of stuff going on right now in the communities that is driven by the music. I mean, but it does, you know, it does start at home. But, you know, all you do is see these kids walking around with these Beats headphones, Beats by Dre, and you know, you can just hear what they're listening to. I mean, and you can see the effect that it takes on them. You know, and, you know, if you take it back to the times, you know, I'm not that old, but, you know, with my mom, they listened to, like, Earth, Wind & Fire, and, you know, Earth, Wind, you know, Verdeen is a really good friend of mine, and we were talking, Verdeen is the bass player in Earth, Wind & Fire, we were talking the other day of, you know, around the times that him, when he was doing music, and what they were speaking about was what was going on in the communities at that time fighting for rights, and I just think that, you know, we got, you know, we got comfortable as a people, you know, and just decided, like, okay, you know, we could, you know, we can walk anywhere in any city, we can live anywhere, we can go anywhere, you know, they're not anywhere calling anymore, so you know what, let's just glorify what's going on in the hood, and it's cool to sell drugs, it's cool to call a girl a B-I-T-C-H, and, you know, I got a daughter, so it's like, I don't condone any of that, and I see that the effects that it has on the kids, the younger kids, is they don't have no respect, and they got this balled up anger, just like, I want to, you know, I want to know what it's like to get shot and survive. You know what I mean? Like, I actually heard kids talking about that. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a real nigga. I'm this. Excuse my, you know, excuse my language, but you know that whole thing, you know, takes a toll on the kids, which is that's what they're listening to every day. Like, you know, it's cool. You know,
it's amazing. You know, and it's, you're absolutely correct. You know, it's so prevalent nowadays because you know we have some of our bigger stars talking about some of these things, and it's making it easier for people to actually be blasphemous and these type of things. Like, speaking of history, man, you know, I heard from a little birdie that your father was very influential. Let's, can we talk about him for a second?
Yeah, my grandfather. My grandfather's Junior Walker from Junior Walker and the All-Stars, Motown. He was part of that whole area. You know, came up with Marvin Gaye, Michael Jackson, and all of them. So, yeah, that's my grandfather. It's in the blood, man.
That's just tough. Basically, you feel like he was a... His expertise was basically a big influence on you, right? Just growing up musically?
Yeah, growing up, definitely. And, you know, I grew up, you know, without my father, so I really didn't know my royalty until I was, like, about 16 when he passed away, actually. I met him a couple times, but, you know, I really can't recall, you know, the days, you know, days of hanging out with him and stuff like that. But, you know, when I found out that actually I was in the streets gangbanging and all that kind of stuff, and when I found out, you know, my bloodline, I was like, oh, I got to let this go because, you know, I'm all, you know, all I have to do is just pick up the slack where he left off at, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, what after doing that, you know, I got into the music real heavily. And, you know, actually me and my pops wrote a book called The Man Behind the Sax, which is completed right now. We're looking for some publishers for that, you know. So, you know, he had a definitely a great influence, and I feel like, you know, spiritually that he guides me, you know, to, you know, basically like work with Dionne Warwick. You know, I basically work with her son. I do business development for his label, and that's how I became a part of, you know, working with Dionne on her 50th anniversary last year. And just like, you know, to the Verdeens of the world and Earth, Wind & Fire and, like, you know, the television and film company I work for, you know, we're doing the Muhammad audio documentary. Like, I feel like this is all about a part of a time that my grandfather crossed these people's paths, and it's like, I feel like he's just leading me. You know how you feel like you're just guided on autopilot?
Yeah.
Like divine order, you know, that kind of thing. So
you would basically say he's someone that keeps you inspired every day.
Yes, 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 definitely, definitely. And he makes me, you know, kind of like, I would say, a stickler about my business. You know, I really don't, you know, I don't take no for an answer. I don't take no for an answer. And, you know, I really stay educated because, you know, at the time, you know, a lot of those artists wasn't educated when it came to those contracts that was put in front of them, put in front of their faces. I mean, my grandfather couldn't write, you know. I mean, his, you know, my grandmother wrote those lyrics down as he said them, you know? So there's a lot of ways that he motivates me as well as, you know, him being such a great musician.
Yeah, definitely. I remember I heard you say something about Vernon Dean, you know, the guy, Eric Zuli, you know, the producer for our show on Easy Way Broadcasting. You know, they just did an event there a couple of weeks ago at Bernadine's house.
Yeah, I was over there. We were talking about Easy, man. Easy's a longtime good friend of mine, and we saw each other at the induction for the Funk Brothers. They got a star on Hollywood Boulevard, and we ran into each other, and we just caught up. And, you know, Easy used to interview me a lot on his show when I was rapping. He used to catch me outside my shows, the clubs, all kind of stuff, you know. So when he saw, you know, when we kind of circled back, you know, it was like, wow, what are you into? What are you into? I'm into this. And he's like, I just met with Verdeen. I'm like, I'm on my way to his house, you know. So me and Verdeen have been friends for a long time, very long time, over 10 years now.
All right, man. Yeah. It was a pleasure having you on to the show, man. Thanks so much for, you know, checking this out, Sports Music with Mo Egger. Tell the people of the world how they can find you, though. What's your Twitters? What's your Instagrams? What's your Facebook?
The Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, MySpace, everything is I-M-A-N-I Walker, Imani Walker. So you can hit me there, and, you know, anybody's looking for any business development, you feel that the projects I laid down that you could be a part of, you can hit me up at 305-240-8061, 24/7 all day. And actually, I just wanted to let everybody know I do have a nonprofit for abused women also. It's called Divine Possibilities. So you can Google that. We have an event, Mother's Day, May 12th, actually, in North Hollywood. So definitely feel free to reach out to me.
You got your information, so I will be contacting you so we can try to figure out what to do some things. And,
yeah, man. And I wanted to say, you know, I really like, you know, that you guys are allowing, you know, positives, people that have accomplished things to speak on this avenue here. You know, a lot of people don't allow that. And, you know, I would, you know, feel free to call me, because all my partners that I work with, like I was saying, Alan West, who produced the Dion piece, you know, he's partners with Blair Underwood. So, you know, we got that whole movement, you know, and anything that I do, I would like to reach out to my partners also to bring them aboard, you know. And another thing that I'm doing also, 420, is the Snoop Dogg mansion party, which I definitely would, if you guys are in L.A., you guys should come over, you know, come around and definitely interview some people there. It's at a private location and, you know, that kind of thing. 420 in a couple weeks is a huge event. So that's something that I'm a part of also. So, and, you know, talking with Snoop lately, he's, you know, his whole vibe and energy is something that I really have been drawn to, because he's talking about how he wants to do positive music and all kind of stuff like that. So, I mean, whatever I could do, you know, to bring some more people through this avenue, I'm wide open, man. So feel free to reach out to your boy.
Oh, man, I appreciate it. And that's what we need to continue to do, is be responsible. Whenever you have the opportunity to be positive and do some good things for the community, I feel like it should be done, especially if you have the actual resources to be done, you know, for it to be done, you know?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks again, brother. I appreciate you. Good luck with everything, and let's keep in touch. Sports and music.
Okay. You got my number, man. Lock me in.
Appreciate it, Monty.
All right,
guys. We're about to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with the boy Dino, Sports Music, Mo Egger. Easy Way Broadcasting.
Let's Only on Blog Talk Radio will you hear the celebrity host of Easy Way Broadcasting. Network owner Eric Easy Zuli treats his 500,000 Twitter followers to insider tips and connections on upcoming shows with the top celebrities and business leaders. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy and tune in 7 days a week to talk with the Easy Way Broadcasting show host at 914-338-1303. Visit www.easywaybroadcasting.com to advertise on the Easy Way Broadcasting Network.
Easy Way Broadcasting is the place to hear everything you need to know about entertainment and business. Now, you can see more about Eric Easy Zuli and all his connections through his online TV network, WTV Network. You can watch the latest videos and read the most up-to-date articles. Keep your eyes on WTV Network to see what's coming in the next few weeks. You'll see the newest web series and original talk shows. Follow Eric at Hollywood It Guy to find out what is new and what is happening in the upcoming weeks. For more information on WTV Network, go to www.thewtv.com.
Yep, you're right.
And now put your hands together for the highlight entrepreneur of the week, Dino Changanaki.
Hello, hello, hello. How are you?
What up, man? How you doing, brother?
Exceptionally well, thank you very much. And yourself?
I'm doing absolutely amazing, brother. Thanks for joining us today on Sports and Music with Mo Egger.
Just wanted to call in today. I am a entrepreneur. We own a organic fertilizer company. We make organic pesticides, organic herbicides, and organic nutrients for all types of growing. And just wanted to spotlight or highlight the fact that a lot of the products that are being grown out there, vegetables, fruits, all kinds of things, they're being grown with nothing but crazy chemicals that people don't even know what is going in their food. I don't know if you guys are even aware of that.
Wow. So, I mean, how did this whole thing come about? You know, what inspired you to actually, you know, do the fertilizer?
I make the best fertilizer in the world. It's the type of stuff that you put on your plants and you don't have to worry. If your kids go playing it, your pets, anything. It's good for the planet. And what it does, it makes anything and everything grow like you would not believe. Lemons coming in twice the size. Tomatoes, same thing, twice as heavy. Basically, you're looking at products out there now that people are putting on their plants. Like I said, it's nothing but just chemical steroids, and you end up with vegetables and fruits that when you taste them, when you bite into them, they just have no flavor. But that's what they're trying to sell us every single day when you go to the store. And again, it's up to you to be a discerning consumer and, you know, choose wisely when you're buying whatever you're going to be buying, because you got to know, it's got to go in you, and it's going to affect you one way or another.
That's absolutely correct, man. I want to commend you for actually doing a good thing out here, trying to, you know, make sure people is, you know, staying healthy. I feel like more people nowadays are paying more attention to being healthy, and I feel like that's an awesome thing. Was this something that you always wanted to do? Is this something you went to school for? How did you start doing it? What made you want to just become, you know, fertilizer?
I met up with a scientist who had developed the chemical product for some of the biggest players out there, you know, the Scotts, the Miracle-Gros out there, and he got tired of it. He got tired of making stuff that was effective but not good for you. And then you start seeing 60 years of them just, you know, constantly just pumping the soil full of chemicals, and you end up with this giant sponge with no nutrients, and the food started having an impact. So I happened to partner with him, and basically we've developed a fully organic line. You're talking about nutrients for your plants, for your soil. It feeds your plants, it feeds your soil. And it's putting the good stuff back in. I mean, this stuff is goes back to traditional Indian methods of how they used to go ahead and, you know, feed plants. But obviously with nanotechnology, with the technological advances that we have now, it's a lot easier. You'd have to go ahead and, you know, struggle, or it isn't as hard to go ahead and get the same results. But again, it's really important. You have to understand what you are what you eat. If you're eating junk and food grown with junk, guess what? You're not going to be feeling so good. You're not going to have the nutrients, the vitamins, the minerals. That's why you're looking at the epidemic of people being just huge. Well, they're huge because they have to eat 10 times as much to get the vitamins and minerals that they did 10, 15, 20 years ago with, like, one product. That's why we're trying to go ahead and bring a little bit more of awareness to what you're eating and how you're growing your foods and your vegetables. And also, if goes into the other side, the medical industry, 420, you guys were talking about that earlier. People have to ask, let's say you are growing medicinal marijuana. Great. Well, what's going in to grow it? You're smoking it? What happens if there's bugs on it? What are you smoking when they go ahead and, you know, wipe out those bugs? Have you ever thought about that when you go to the dispensaries or anything else? Things to consider,
wow.
You know?
Wow, that's amazing, man. How can we find your product?
Amol Gold Nutrients, that's the website, www. And, you know, come by, check us out. You're going to be looking at all kinds of videos. We have university studies growing vegetables and fruits in the sand. I don't know if you know anything about sand, but it isn't a whole lot of nutrients. When you can actually grow vegetables and fruits in sand, yeah, you got something that's pretty good.
Hmm. That's amazing, brother. It sounds like you're doing some really good things over there, and it's good to hear some people out here that's taking notice of things that we really don't pay attention to on a daily basis, such as fertilization and things that's grown on our fruits and our food. What are, like some different, like, as far as grocery stores, like, say, if, like, Trader Joe's or Whole Foods, like, what grocery store would you actually recommend for people that's looking at their fruits and veggies?
Oh, boy, that's kind of a tough one. Whole Foods is usually pretty good. Trader Joe's is okay. But, again, you're getting organic stuff grown in Mexico and organic stuff grown in Chile. There's no way to go ahead and verify what they're actually putting in there. Did they scrape, you know, some sewer and use that as organic fertilizer for the soil? You don't know. It's disgusting, but that's to a great extent what a lot of the stuff that's out there is grown in. So I'm advocating people grow stuff at their house. Locally, where you know, hey, what is this guy putting in the soil? What's he putting in the vegetables? What's he putting in the food? So that you don't end up with some kind of a mystery, you know, vegetable, fruit, or whatever that's going to go ahead and create some kind of a problem for you later on. Think about it. You're feeding your kids this stuff, too. So you want to make sure that it's safe, obviously.
Right. Do you feel like, okay, you look at cancers and different things when people get sick. Do you feel like those could be some of the reasons why people really don't know what they're eating, and they're just putting these different chemicals in their bodies that's giving them these different illnesses that we struggle with every day as a society?
Listen, you can survive on Twinkies and cupcakes. That's food, right? You can eat that. You can have it, chase it down with a Pepsi. That's food, right? Your body is going to process it eventually. But after 30 or 40 years of eating Twinkies and cupcakes, think how you're going to feel. Your body's been taking in nutrients that are refined sugars, processed everything, so you really don't have a whole lot to go on. Your body can go ahead and work with it, but eventually your body's going to say, don't want to work anymore, that's it, and shut down. That's when all of a sudden your kidneys don't work, your liver doesn't work, you're suddenly on a dialysis machine. Why? Mystery? No, they just don't want to talk about it. They don't want to talk about it because they don't want to mess with the FOOD industry. That's the big thing. No one wants to talk about that. Should you? Should we? Should we be asking questions about what you eat? Absolutely. I'm just trying to go ahead and bring that awareness so people realize you have to pay attention. If you don't pay attention, they're going to continue to go ahead and say, no, Twinkies are really good food. Keep eating them, you know?
That's amazing. So what was the website so we can actually get more information on everything you're talking about on the show?
You go to www.amalgold.com. Learn all about what we do, how we do it, and what happens to your plants when you actually put this on, and prepare to be amazed.
That's cool. So is that the best way to get to you? You have any Twitters or Instagrams or anything for people to actually reach out to you and get more information?
Best way is hit the website, go there. Any questions, you can also hit me on myself, 310-678-6164. It is boutique. You are talking about handmade, handcrafted fertilizers, insecticides, and herbicides. We do everything in-house, all made in the United States. Components are all sourced here. We're not doing anything from some other crazy country that God knows what they're putting in their stuff. All our stuff is made here. So that's what we try to go ahead and promote. American business, American entrepreneurship, making it right here, locally grown, okay?
Oh, respect it, brother. So I definitely want to thank you for joining us on this week's this segment of Entrepreneur of the Week. Good luck with everything. We'll be checking you out. We'll be getting in contact with you, man, because you just gave me some gems, man, some things I didn't even know and some things I had to think about. So appreciate you once again, man, and good luck with everything. Thanks again.
A pleasure. Thank you very much. Take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
No problem. All right, we've reached our segment of Sports and Music with Mo Egger. It was, once again, a great, great show. I want to thank all my guests for coming on. I want to thank Tina Truman. I want to thank Eric Zuli. And once again, I want you guys to go check out the website, moegger.com. And I will be keeping you guys in the loop when voting starts for the Independent Music Producer of the Year for the Entrepreneurs on the Move Movement Award. So that should be coming up pretty soon. So thanks again. Join us again next week, same time, same place, Sports and Music with Mo Egger, Easy Way Broadcasting. Let's get it.
Join the 500,000 Twitter followers who have discovered Eric Zuli's newest project, Easy Way Broadcasting, powered by WTVNetworks.com on Blog Talk Radio. Find the most up-to-date info on his show, Easy Talk, which airs every Friday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, by following his Twitter site at Easyway Broadcast and at Eric Zuli. Easy connects listeners with their favorite celebrities and Hollywood insiders who are doing it the easy way. And you can, too. Talk to Eric during the show at 914-338-1303.
Thank you for listening to Sports and Music with Mo Egger, only on Easy Way Broadcasting. Join Mo every Tuesday at 2 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.